Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's art scene is seeing a tectonic shift. Some influential local galleries have folded up over the last few years. That makes the roadmap to finding how to become a San Antonio working artist a lot harder to figure out. If something more vibrant and exciting rises up and takes hold of San Antonio, that remains to be seen. Or maybe it was the end of a golden age of local art creation in the city. That depends on what happens right now. We want to hear from our artist listeners. Tell us if you think it's getting harder to become a professional artist in the city now. We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And we're joined this half hour by Sarah Fish. She details the changes in the recent cover story of the San Antonio Current. Also, we have the city's Department for Culture and Creative Development, the director, Felix Padron, and we have artist Ethel Shipton here. Welcome to The Source, y'all.
Thanks for having me.
So let me ask you, Sarah, since you started this whole conversation with your your article in the Current, so tell us, what happened? What's changing in San Antonio's art community?
San Antonio's art community is really facing some challenges with regard, in my opinion, in regard to helping emerging and developing artists reach a gallery audience. It's an economic factor that San Antonio is great at getting around, in that the San Antonio art community is so supportive of each other.
So what changed? What changed?
There were some major closures of local galleries who really provided that step from emerging artist spaces to some kind of viable marketplace.
So these were places that were very good at finding new talent and giving them a stage to
absolutely.
And then people would say, okay, they've got this gallery's
right.
seal of approval. Let's see if they can take it to the next level.
Right. And not just via an art market, but in getting things like faculty positions, artist fellowships, grants, that kind of thing, the kind of resume builders, if you will, that help an artist get beyond a local viewership.
And so what happened to these galleries? Was there a change in the economics, or is this, generational turnover?
Some of it is going to be generational. And especially with spaces that are run by just one or two people, that's exhausting. There is a tremendous amount of logistical effort that goes into running a gallery.
Because each gallery, in a way, is kind of a cult of personality.
To some degree, or at the very least, the cult of a particular aesthetic, or the cult of the sense of mission of the gallerist. And people get really tired. People have to make money. They have to pursue their own art. And so it's tough for gallerists who are putting on, a show a month. And so there's always going to be turnover because of those concerns. But in particular, there was kind of a galaxy of what I'll call second-tier galleries who dropped out of the landscape. And not that anyone's obligated to maintain their gallery function, but right now I think there's kind of a void right there in that middle space.
And so what about new galleries to
yeah.
to rise? And I know we've seen some challenges with what's happening in Beacon Hill. So
yeah,
obviously it's
right.
maybe more difficult to start a gallery mm-hmm. in a viable space than it was 10 years ago.
I think that is true. Because the art center, in terms of gallery spaces, has kind of decentralized from Southtown in particular and spread somewhat north. Beacon Hill is a great example because there are some great public spaces. The Beacon Hill, I think it's Methodist Church?
It's a Presbyterian.
Presbyterian, I'm sorry.
On Woodlawn.
Yeah. They have art space in kind of their annex building, which is fantastic. And it's a...
The Invisible Gallery?
The Invisible Gallery is in there. There are four or five artist-run spaces. And to me, that's kind of the emerging generation from what used to be in the Blue Star.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
We've seen kind of a breakup at Blue Star, and
right.
that's kind of like the catalyst for what's happening here.
Right. Three Walls is still in existence and has moved. But, Cactus Bra, Joan Grona, although she'd already planned to leave, those spaces were very much part of the latter. And that, I think, The whole art center has a big role to play. I'm very excited at Mary Heathcott moving from Art Pace to Blue Star, but it has yet to provide kind of a known infrastructure.
So we've seen Jumpstart move to Beacon Hill. Mm-hmm. And then, but we had the issue in Beacon Hill with the French
in Michigan.
French in Michigan. I just remember that place as Elmer's Garage when it was when it was a garage many, many years ago.
Well, now it's a different kind of garage.
Yeah, now it is. And so they face some challenges. So let me bring Ethel a shift in. And you are a working artist.
Yes.
You are an artist. And do you agree with what Sarah is proposing, that it's tougher to be an artist, a rising star now than it was?
I think I'm in agreement that there's a fallout of a middle ground gallery situation, but I think that some of those things, not having a focal point in Southtown, as Sarah referenced, is the city seems to be growing and having more opportunities in some ways for artists to move through the world and be creative beings. Now, the classic sense of having a gallery, selling a work, making work, continuing to your going to your studio, making work, selling work, continuing, that classic sense of being a creative being in San Antonio is more diversified. That doesn't really exist for too many people. Most creative, and I say creative people because I think artists are not, they encompass a lot of different disciplines these days. I mean, whether they're creative in their community work, running a gallery, sitting on the board of the Artist Foundation, which is an amazing foundation that continues to support all disciplines, cross-disciplining, where we have artists being writers, writers being artists, back and forth, musicians. So I think that there's a broader sense of making art and being a creative being, but that classic sense that Sarah's referencing, that middle ground of what you might say resume building, is a fallout. But I don't know that it's not being replaced with this diversity that's happening. And the fact that there's not necessarily a particular center of the arts, like we used to see Blue Star being the center. Now that we have Tobin Hill, Beacon Hill, Southtown, South Flores, I mean, these districts are getting more and more vast. And, you know, I always say I know about 5 or 10 of these different districts, or 5 at least, but I'm sure there's more out there that I don't even know about.
So let me get a caller in on this conversation. The number is 614-8980. Jacinto was called in. Jacinto, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Hi there. First, let me praise that you have Sarah Fish on today. I was at my local coffee shop reading her article in The Current, and I advise all artists, gallerists in this town, cultural people, to read her amazing article. She really covered the whole scene, and actually I was going to drive to The Current and bow down at her feet and praise her, but I'm glad I didn't because apparently she's there at your station. But as an artist who actually makes his living selling paintings, I don't make a living curating, I don't make a living teaching, I don't make a living applying for grants and stuff like that that are, you know. Anyway, so I make a living selling my artwork, and I really think the next, because there are really very few brick-and-mortar places, and even when there was, and that's been my critique the last 22 years here in San Antonio, is that most galleries work.
So is it getting harder?
Hanging around.
Is it getting harder to become an artist in San Antonio? We've got about 30 seconds.
Easier for me. Once I stopped trying to create slides and try to get into galleries that really didn't want to commit or didn't pay honorariums anymore, or didn't want to, you know, they wanted me to make money for them, but they didn't want to do anything for myself.
So you're doing it.
And that's happening everywhere with all artists. So artists need to create their own spaces, and that's what I've been doing, actually selling from my house.
Good for you, Jacinto. You're making it work for you. We're going to continue the conversation. We want to hear from other artists in San Antonio. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We know that having a vital, robust, artistic community in a city like San Antonio is essential. It's not just in order to have some place to go on the weekends, but they create art that informs us about ourselves and about the community that we live in and changing technology. I would argue that we need good art now more than ever. And so when we hear that it may be harder for local artists to rise rise up and get noticed and make a living out of becoming an artist, that got our attention. And so we invited to the studio the author of the article about that in the San Antonio Current, Sarah Fish. Also with us is artist Ethel Shipton, and we are joined by the city's Department for Cultural and Creative Development Director, Felix Padron. And we want to hear from our listeners. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Please chime in about this. And so let me get you in on this, Felix. First off, what do you think about the premise that Sarah is putting out there?
Well, I think what she mentioned earlier about the marketplace. The marketplace is really what drives these businesses to continue to service the artist community. And I think there is really little marketplace here in San Antonio from a collector's standpoint. I think the point that really has to be made, which is very, very critical to San Antonio, is that San Antonio is a very easy, very approachable community for artists to produce their goods and services. It's a very affordable community. I think the idea of artists finding a marketplace is an issue that is faced throughout the country. I think there are only a very selective few major cities that have the infrastructure in place to really create that marketplace, whether you're talking about New York, Chicago, even if you go even beyond the United States, you know, Berlin, which now has become probably an incredible marketplace for artists. But the galleries here, I think most of the ones that have been mentioned are mostly, for a lack of a better term, they're alternative spaces run by artists, and they're mostly done on a volunteer basis. And that in itself is a strain to maintain and continue those businesses to thrive. The community has been evolving for quite some time, and I think every 10 years or so, we see the sort of movement of evolving from one thing to another. I think the days of Blue Star being the center of the epicenter of artist-centric or artists being the focal point, that already has been disseminated, as Ethel and Sarah has mentioned. It has disseminated throughout the entire city, meaning there are more opportunities within or throughout the city for artists to continue to produce and sell the services, which I think goes beyond San Antonio. They need to make the effort to go beyond and to go globally to market their products.
Now, over at the city's Department for Culture and Creative Development, y'all have been, of course, helped fund art in San Antonio. And in the past, it's been very focused on these large institutions that we have, and like the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center and other organizations. But now, are we seeing that you're more interested in helping fund artists directly? What is changing?
Well, we've been, you know, the last time we made a significant effort to change our funding guidelines, which is basically the competitive process that most of the arts groups go through to receive city funding, was done in 2006. As the topic of conversation today is that environment has evolved greatly. It's a different story today than we saw, say, 5, 6, 10 years ago. The community has expanded. Institutions are growing. Some of them are shrinking. We also have recognized that artists play a real critical role in the evolution of San Antonio. They have been, actually since the beginning of time, in the foundation of San Antonio. If you look at the context of the river and the craftsmanship that was built by artists, artists here have always been civic-minded. They always have been community engaged, and they're very, very, they still continue to be engaged. And we want to capitalize on that. So what we're doing now is proposing some opportunities or introducing new programs that sort of expands the department's portfolio to try to get dollars into the hands of artists for them to make significant contribution, not only to the community, but to visitors alike.
Okay, our phone lines are open. We want to get to these callers. The number is 614-8980. And Carl has called in. Carl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm a student out at UTSA, a grad student, and what I've noticed is that there doesn't seem to be any synergy between the art downtown, where I have a patron, and the art out at UTSA. There aren't any student art shows and sales at UTSA, University of Incarnate Word, various areas. It seems like there's a missing link there, because if you're trying to support the artist, you need to start supporting them when they're very young and moving up. And it seems that the sharing the space at the campuses and downtown would work to everybody's advantage.
If I could just step in there.
Okay.
One of the more important emerging art spaces and an institution that does kind of fill that middle space is the UTSA Satellite Space, which is, in fact, downtown. And which shows artists not only affiliated with the university, but traveling artists at times, emerging artists kind of from all over the region. I hear what the caller's saying, but there is, in fact, a brick-and-mortar gallery institution downtown that does reflect UTSA. That's one really important venue, I think, that kind of answers to that.
I want to step in here. You also have colleagues that have graduated from UTSA MFA program and some that I'm sure in an undergraduate that run their own artist-run spaces that are also a venue downtown for you to tap into.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Kellen has called in. Kellen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Kellen, you there?
I am very happy to be here.
Okay.
Hello, Felix. Hello, Sarah. Nice to talk to both of you today.
Hi, Kellen.
My name is Kellen McIntyre, and I'm Executive Director of Beale House Arts. And we produce the On and Off Fredericksburg Road Studio Tour, which takes place the February 21st, 22nd, and 23rd on and off Fred Road. And on that tour, we have 80 featured artists, 250 other area artists, plus the four theaters in the area now. They're all participating on the studio tour. And my point about mentioning that is that I think Sarah's Fish, while it's probably a good start, it really only scratches the surface on what's going on in San Antonio with regard to not only the visual arts, but the performing and literary arts as well. We're a very diverse community, and as the On and Off Fred Studio Tour attest to, this area of town, there are seven neighborhoods here, which includes Beacon Hill, Monticello Park, Jefferson, and others. This is one of the areas in the city where a lot of artists, many artists live. There's probably, we've done an informal survey, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 to 1,000 living here, and many of them participate on the tour. And so I think, Sarah, as I said, Sarah's article is a good, kind of scratches the surface, but it really didn't go deep enough into the topic in that three-page article to really describe what truly is happening. At Beale House, we've shown a number of emerging artists. We combine them with mature, established artists so that the young emerging artist gets their name associated with a gallery that shows people like Marilyn Lanfear and Rolando Briseño and David Zamora-Casas and others in the city. We also support the artists by providing stipends to them for one-person shows.
Artists
to help them build their portfolios. And so I think that it's important to look into the communities and to see that everything is not downtown, that many things are happening in the communities, and Beale House Arts and the On and Off Fredericksburg Road Studio Tour are two of those things.
Okay, so you're saying that things are very robust, that we are seeing a lot of growth, and it's actually diversifying. And some people would consider that, uptown from downtown, not that far from downtown. It's not exactly out on 1604, Still pretty close to the center of the city. Okay, Kellen, thanks for calling in. Another caller we want to get on the air. Allison has called in. Allison, welcome to The Source.
I wanted to call in and say hello to Sarah and Ethel and Felix and to thank Felix. We are working on the University Health System wonderful public art program that was started over 5 years ago, $7.2 million going towards public art in two new clinical buildings and hospital sites, both at the Robert B. Green campus downtown and the medical tower, Sky Tower, that's about to open officially in April. And we've been able to reach out San Antonio community and include many artists from the local community as well as regional, national, and international artists to be able to put over 1,500 pieces of original artwork into the two buildings. Felix was part of our wonderful committee of University Health System staff members who selected the art, but also had the vision and the wherewithal. Mr. George Hernandez, who's the CEO of the hospital system, really believed in art and healing and art in San Antonio. And I think to put that that type of commitment behind a project that's now gone on since 2009 is just extraordinary. And one of the really nice parts of it was we were purchasing from different centers. You know, we were able to purchase from the TSA.
Awesome. Allison, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate those points and that you bring up about what's happening at the UT Health System and investing in the arts. But Sarah, obviously we're seeing, you know, progress. People are bringing up great examples. There's growth. But you bring up a great point that we are losing some galleries, but this is an opportunity to build and to actually create a new future, a new launchpad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so, Felix, where do we go from here real quick?
Well, we have a public meeting this coming Saturday over at Municipal Plaza Building downtown. We opened up the process to let the community come out and give us some feedback on the changes that we're proposing. And tomorrow night at 5:30 at Blue Star, we're going to have the same conversation with the artist community. So I do encourage all of them to come.
So we're going to have a dialogue, a public dialogue about
the changes.
How are we going to get resources into the hands of our new emerging artists and make sure that we continue to grow and provide platforms and take make sure San Antonio is ready for the next generation of gallery holders and artists and storytellers and people who can. And so thank you so much, Ethel Shipton, for joining us. We've got Felix Padron from the city and also Sarah Fish article in The Current. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies.